more you make, the higher the rate you pay. That's what's right, and that's what's fair, and that's what New York deserves. At the same time, we need revenue. As a matter of simple math, there is not an intelligent or productive way to close the current gap without generating revenue.
Governor Cuomo, in a pre-recorded statement, by the way, no questions from the press, now an explainer on everything in the Cuomo budget agreement other than the tax rates. You've been hearing all morning how only people making $2 million a year or more will have those high over 8% tax rates. Most people making up to $150,000 will get a tax cut. For example, if your adjusted gross income is exactly $100,000, you get a $400 New York State income tax cut, if I'm reading the charts right. But there are also other things in here that matter. And I think we have Ken Levitt, Daily News Albany Bureau Chief, to explain. We do. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So we just have 5 minutes. Then Christiane Amanpour is going to talk about democracy at home and abroad in 2011. So let's just cut through the things other than the tax rates, because I don't think they're getting enough attention. The governor announced something called the New York Works Infrastructure Fund. It's described as $1 billion in job-creating investment, leveraging $10 billion in direct capital investment. What does all that mean?
What it means is the state's going to put up $1 billion, and they're hoping that the unions, and they've been working on this, that private and public sector unions will then invest in these projects. So it's going to be public-private partnerships. It won't be the state worker unions, but they're talking to the teachers unions in the city and statewide. They're talking to private unions, and they're hoping that they'll invest their pension funds into this. They feel it'll speed up projects. It'll make things go. It'll create jobs as projects are getting done. They're also going to cut through a lot of red tape in a way that will allow jobs to get done quicker by allowing the same companies to design and then build projects.
At the same time, the MTA region payroll tax that suburban lawmakers wanted done away with has been done away with. Who will pay how much less?
Well, it's not been done away with, but it has been trimmed back. Basically, this is a big win for the Senate Republicans who have been trying to repeal it entirely. This will benefit small businesses with payrolls of no more than $1.75 million annual payrolls. And on a sliding scale, they will pay less or none of the MTA tax. It will also help parochial schools. When they did the original bill, public schools paid the MTA tax, but then were reimbursed by the state. Parochial schools and private schools will be exempted completely under this plan, and then also independent workers will also be exempted. So it's going to be to the tune of about $250 million, but the MTA won't lose that money. It'll go, the state somehow is going to come up with it and pay it to the MTA directly.
There's also a $25 million tax credit program to hire inner-city youth and $37 million for worker training. Who would be eligible for either of those?
Well, as it says, inner-city youth. The Assembly Democrats have been pushing, you know, funding for the summer jobs programs. This is part of that, I believe. But it's going to be employers. The governor said there's about a 40% unemployment rate within the inner cities. He says that it's a crisis within a crisis, and he says this is being done to address that.
Not in this budget is any pension reform for New York City public employees. Mayor Bloomberg apparently expected that that would be part of any plan. So are conservatives right when they say this package is reform of the tax rate but no reform of government spending?
Well, they are right in that respect, and there's no mandate reform because this isn't as big an issue in the city, but in the upstate and suburbs, the governor and the legislature passed the first ever property tax cap this year, and a lot of the local governments were complaining that, well, you're telling us to cap our spending, but you're not giving us any mandate relief. That was not part of this package either. I do think you may see pension reform and mandate relief as issues for next year. I mean, after all, Brian, they had to leave something for next year. They pretty much have finished the budget already.
They could go home from now until a year from from January. But on the process of how this was done, Ken, this was old-time Albany. Three men in a room, the governor and the two top legislative leaders. The governor proposed the deal Sunday. They had an agreement by Tuesday. No Senate assembly hearings, no public comment period, except on this show without the governor. The governor didn't take calls anywhere, as far as I know, just poof.
And especially it was stunning given his stance and the Senate Republican stance of no new taxes. You know, it's going to depend on what the public thinks. I mean, there's no doubt that Governor Cuomo got a lot done this year, but the one thing he promised was a very transparent and open government, and that has been lacking in terms of the way deals have been made. It's been even more closed than usual.
And just briefly on the politics of the taxes, because the cover, you know, the headline of the New York Post, Brand X, disses it today as Cuomo caving on a tax hike. Liberals are not happy, some of them, because it's actually a tax cut compared to the surcharge and the revenue that it had been generating. And, you know, just the numbers here, the total revenue for the state will be half what the current upper income surcharge is. Correct me if I'm wrong. $2 billion a year in revenue compared to $4 billion currently from the surcharge. So that's the compromise, right? Conservatives wanted the surcharge to expire. Liberals wanted to extend it. What they did was to remove half of it and tweak the rates ever so slightly to call it reform. Correct?
Basically, what they did was they tweaked the middle class rate so they can say that the middle class will get a tax break. It's modest, but they will see a tax break. They went higher than the millionaires. The Democrats were pushing for a true millionaire's tax where, you know, higher rates would kick in if you make a million or more. For couples, it kicks in at $2 million now, and for individuals at a million. So, yeah, I mean, it was a compromise, but on the left, they'll say it doesn't go far enough. They're still going to be need to cut, because really there's $1.6 billion in revenue that this will generate that's left to close a $3.5 billion deficit next year. So there's still going to be cuts, although the governor says he's committed to hiking education and healthcare spending by 4%. And on the conservative side, they're complaining that, you know, the governor promised no new taxes. He was trying to send a business to message, and now he stepped on his message, and it's the same old for New York. And it's interesting because the New York Times today, the liberal New York Times, you know, complained that it didn't go far enough. And the Wall Street Journal and the New York Post, conservatives, said that, you know, the tax hikes are going to hurt the business climate. And, of course, our paper was in the middle, and they liked the deal editorially.
Daily News, Albany Bureau Chief, Ken Lovett. Thanks a lot for explaining some of that.
Anytime. Be well.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and up next we have the ABC This Week host, Christiane Amanpour, to reflect on covering democracy at home and abroad, and what a year it was for pro-democracy uprisings in 2011. Stay with us. Christiane Amanpour next here on WNYC.